Father God, may we realize that your cross, the cross of your Son, will never ask more than we can give. And we pray that today, if not before this day, we might indeed be crucified with him. And we pray that his resurrection power and joy and assurance might fill us. Even in this moment, we pray. In his name, amen. Would you open your Bibles to Luke 24? Luke 24. John's Gospel tells us it was dark when the women came to the tomb that morning. It was dark. I don't know, but that John was also saying something more than just the condition of the sky. But that he might not be saying it was dark in their hearts and in their spirits. It had been dark all weekend. It had been dark with Judas's betrayal. It had been dark with Peter's denial. It had been dark with Pilate's cowardice. But it had never been so dark and never would be that dark again as it was on Friday between 12 and 3 as they crucified the king. His body was taken down from the cross so late in the day, they didn't have time to anoint his body for death. And so John says they came before it was dark, after the Sabbath had passed, to anoint his body for burial once and for all. It is imperative we understand they did not go to witness a resurrection. They came to anoint the dead body of their loved one and the one they claimed was Lord, even Jesus. They came with heavy hearts and broken spirit and downcast face. And laden with the spices they carried, they came to the place of the tomb. The text tells us that when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And they looked inside and the tomb was empty. They were distraught over what they saw. They'd come to anoint the body, and now the body is gone. Mary of Magdala was particularly distraught, according to John's Gospel. Where have you laid my Lord? It dawned on me many years ago. I guess I'm slow to learn, but it dawned on me years ago. As a young Christian, it dawned on me that the tomb wasn't rolled back from the tomb. The stone wasn't rolled back in the tomb so that Jesus could get out. I mean, he had just conquered death. Did someone yet need to move the stone for him? I think not. No, the stone was rolled away so that his followers might get in and see that he was gone just as he had said. As the women were contemplating and perplexed over what they found, suddenly the darkness of the morning sky was lit up with the raiment of the two men who stood there. For two angels stood there in their presence, and as they saw the raiment that shone like lightning, they hit the ground with their faces to the ground in fear. But the men said, "Don't be afraid. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Matthew says, just like he said. Don't you remember how he told you when he went to Galilee that the Son of Man must be betrayed and put into the hands of sinful men, that he'd be crucified, but on the third day he would arise? And they remembered. Matthew's Gospel says at that point the women began running out of the cemetery. And as they ran through the cemetery, they're suddenly met by the risen Lord Himself. Jesus greets them in the cemetery. Surprise. Isn't it just like God to throw a surprise party in a cemetery? Matthew's gospel says when they saw Him, they fell at His feet and grasped His feet. Here are four women on their knees and on their faces grasping His feet. And the Bible says they worshiped Him. And Jesus said, go and tell My disciples I'll meet them in Galilee. I'll see them there. And running, they go back to tell the disciples the King has risen from the dead. The response among the disciples is confusing. Two of them got up immediately, Peter and John, and they ran to the tomb to see for themselves. John outran Peter. John was afraid to go into the tomb when he got there. He just stuck his head in and he saw the linens lying there. Peter, who ran slower but was more bold, walked right into the tomb. And there the linens laying there and the face cloth was folded and put on another place. John's gospel says John believed. Peter walked away scratching his head, wondering what had happened. With all of those events taking place, that same day, Luke's gospel tells us in verse 13, two of the followers of Jesus were walking along the road going to Emmaus. Emmaus is 7 miles to the west. As they walked in that afternoon, Jesus suddenly joined them. And in His divine power, He kept them from recognizing Him until it was time for them to know. Max Lucado tells the story of a New York City reporter who was a sports reporter for the newspaper in New York, one of the newspapers in New York. And a bout of the flu went through the newspaper, and there were a lot of reporters that were out and a lot of stories that needed to be covered. They were shorthanded and they sent the sports reporter to report on the Russian ballet that had come to New York. This sports writer didn't want to write about a ballet, but he went nonetheless because they told him, we're shorthanded, you've got to go. So he went. He was so moved and impressed by the grace and the athleticism of the ballet dancers that he said he'd never seen such grace and athleticism together in one person. He was moved particularly by one of the young Russian dancers. And so when the thing was over, through an interpreter, he asked her, what is it that you mean when you dance the way you did? What do you mean? Her response to him was this: if I could tell you, I wouldn't have had to dance. You know something, folks? Sometimes there are things about God you just can't tell. There are some things in the experience of God that just can't be put into words. They have to be experienced with God. Jesus wanted those two disciples to experience an afternoon with Him. He wanted them to hear Him exposit the Scriptures to them that afternoon. And when it was time, He would let them know who He was. As they walked along, Jesus said, what are you talking about? One of them, whose name is Cleopas, turned to Him and said, Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been going on the last few days? He was going to regret later that he'd ever asked Him that question. Jesus says, what things? About Jesus of Nazareth. A man who was a prophet and attested by God. He was crucified by our leaders. Notice what they say. The Bible says, verse 21, but we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. The Bible tells us earlier in verse 17, their faces were downcast. You see, they feel just like the women did that morning when they went to the tomb. Their faces downcast, their spirits broken. Hope was gone. They thought the light of the world was now sealed in a tomb, dead. We'd hoped He was going to redeem Israel. And Jesus at verse 25 says, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, He explained to them what was said in the Scriptures concerning Himself." Can you imagine having Jesus exposit the Scriptures to you for a day? Beginning with Genesis and going right through the prophets, expositing the Scriptures every time He's mentioned. Because you see, folks, the Bible is not about a doctrine. The Bible is about our God. And He showed them every place the Scriptures talked of Himself. When their 7-mile walk was over and they'd gotten to Emmaus, Jesus started to continue on. And I thought, isn't that just like Jesus? He never forces Himself on anyone. He wouldn't prevail Himself upon them and say, "Let me stay with you." And so they began to plead with Him. They urged Him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." And so He went to stay with them. The Bible says, when He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. And in that moment, their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him. Hold your finger here for a moment and turn back to chapter 9, Luke 9, for just a moment. Luke 9, look at verse 16. In the midst of the story of the feeding of the 5,000, it says, chapter 9, verse 16, "Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke them. Then He gave them to the disciples to set before the people." Now turn back to Luke 24. I wonder if maybe Cleopas and his buddy weren't there that day and saw Him bless the bread and break it and hand it to the disciples. I wonder if maybe they weren't in some of the groups immediately around Jesus. They heard the prayer He offered. They saw the action He took. They saw Him as He extended the bread and the fish and gave it to the disciples. I wonder if when at the table in Emmaus, He began to bless and break it and gave it to them, I wonder if they saw something incredibly familiar that they'd seen before. Peter Marshall does a wonderful thing with this text. He says it at this point that as Jesus held out the bread to give it to them, the folds of His robe fell back from His wrist and they saw the wounds in His hands. I don't know how He revealed Himself. I only know that in that moment, they saw Him for who He was. And immediately He vanished from their sight. They began to talk with one another and they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us when He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And the 2 told what all had happened that day on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. Let me make a couple of 3 observations and then we're done. Number 1, our God is a God of surprises. He's a God of surprise. Everywhere you encounter God, you're running into a God who surprises you. When Sarah was 89 and Abraham was 99, God sends 3 messengers. They show up and they say to Sarah, "By this time next year, you're going to have a baby." Surprise. And what did Sarah do? She laughed. I mean, what would you do if you're 89 and going to have a baby? God of surprises. And he sends a 14, 15-year-old, red-faced shepherd boy with a sling in one hand and a shepherd's crook in the other to go up and do battle against the greatest warrior of his day, whose name was Goliath. As Goliath sees David to come out against him, he is awestruck. What am I, a dog, that you send a boy out to fight me? A God of surprises. And then there's Jonah. You know, the prophet that ran from God when he was told to go and preach in Nineveh. He went to Tarshish and they throw him overboard from the ship and the big fish swallows him up. 3 days in the belly of the fish, he's there. And when life is at its darkest and bleakest for Jonah, the fish burps. Jonah is vomited up on the beach. And God says to him, now you can go to Nineveh. A God of surprises. Who but God would throw a surprise party in a cemetery? Who but God would disguise himself in such a way that he would walk with two disciples and exposit the scriptures for an afternoon and then reveal himself at the table when he broke the bread? You know what? It has become plain to me as I go through life, God is constantly surprising me. Doesn't he surprise you? I mean, the things that you expect God to do, God doesn't do. The things that you would expect God not to do, God does. When you least expect it, God surprises you. The second thing I notice from this story is that God comes and walks beside us in our darkest hours. It had never been any darker than it was for those women that morning when they went to the tomb. And suddenly he was there. And he gave these hopeless, failing hearts hope again. And as the two walked along the road to Emmaus in their darkest hour, Jesus is there walking beside them and gave those hopeless, failing hearts hope again. Has something come into your life lately that has brought darkness? Have you received some news that brought darkness to your soul? Has a dream died? Has a relationship unraveled? In the moment of the greatest darkness, look for Him, because He comes beside us in our darkest moments and gives us hope. There's another point to this story that seems so apparent to me. Being in Jesus' presence takes away the trivial and focuses you on the important. You know what the women did with their spices when they encountered Jesus in the cemetery? They dropped the spices and forgot about the trivial thing they'd come to do. I don't know what business the two guys had in Emmaus, but as soon as they discovered that Jesus was there, they quit whatever they were doing, got up and went immediately back to Jerusalem. You know, I notice that sometimes when the trivial things of life begin to distract me and pull me down and weight me down, I notice that when I come into the presence of Jesus through worship and praise, suddenly the trivial is set aside and the important comes into focus. God brings us to the important issues of life. Lastly, faithful disciples go tell the good news. Faithful disciples go tell the good news. The women, as soon as they discovered he was alive, did what? They ran back to tell the other disciples. When the guys in Emmaus figured out he was alive and it was Jesus, they ran back to tell the disciples. Faithful disciples tell the good news. He's alive. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to be about, is telling a darkened world he's alive. No matter how dark, no matter how despairing, no matter how pained, no matter how bleak, carrying the corpse of an empty cocoon to its grave. The caterpillars are all dressed in black and they're weeping and the tears are falling to the ground as they carry this empty cocoon to its final resting place. And right above their heads is a gorgeous butterfly who's fluttering over their heads as if to say, I have been freed from that prison, entombing, earthly tent. Folks, that's what the resurrection of Jesus is about. When life looks at its bleakest, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the hope. Do not despair. He's alive. Let's pray. Father God, may we realize today He is risen. He is alive. Forgive us for the trivial pursuits we go after, for the way that it divides us and distracts us. Help us remember that when we're in Your presence, You are of ultimate importance. Father God, give us the hope to know today as we leave, no matter how dark and bleak, He is alive. And we pray that as faithful disciples, that as we go into our darkened world, we pray You'll help us to take the light of Jesus to them. May they see Jesus radiating from our lives. May they see Your light coming from us. And we pray it in His name. This morning He invites, come and experience the victory of the resurrection. For the power that overcame death in the grave is a power that will indwell your life. The promise of God is that when you come by faith, repenting of your sin, you're immersed into Him, you receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of His Spirit. He's alive. And He'll be alive in you. Would you come at His invitation right now while we stand together and sing?
Sit on Your throne, O Lord, within my heart. Take full control.